Hello. It's good to be back. Thank you, Caroline, Rachel, and all of the wonderful members of the St. Ben's and Queen of Angels Domestic Violence Committee for giving me this opportunity to speak to you on behalf of the House of Good Shepherd in the age of COVID-19. We are grateful for your friendship, support, and your steadfast advocacy for women and children struggling to overcome the paralyzing trauma of domestic violence. We are all vulnerable, and COVID-19 has amplified the vulnerability of many individuals and communities already experiencing extreme poverty, homelessness, violence, isolation, and hunger, living without access to the most basic essentials needed to survive. House of the Good Shepherd is no stranger to meeting the needs of women and children during times of crisis, confusion, desperation, and anxiety-filled situations. Since 1859, we have served on the front lines throughout Chicagoland, caring for underprivileged women and children during disease outbreaks, a depression, 2 world wars, and 4 stock market crashes. Every single day, we are adapting to ever-changing demands and uncertainty. COVID-19 has shifted the way we do business. We have had to make revisions in our service delivery model with extra measures to keep residents safe and help them shelter in place with support and compassion. We follow all guidelines set forth by the Centers for Disease Control, as well as those by the Department of Health and Human Services. For the past several years, we have shared our services with resident families at Madonna House, a homeless shelter located on the same campus as the House of Good Shepherd. On December 31st, 2019, the contract with the City of Chicago for the Madonna House Homeless Shelter ended. And on January 1st, 2020, we transitioned the Madonna House into emergency domestic violence apartments to serve up to an additional 14 families. Because the Madonna House is a communal emergency shelter, we had to temporarily shut it down since the outbreak. However, we continued to serve 20 clients that were unable to find safe place. During the last 6 months, our campus was quarantined for 2 weeks due to a family that tested positive for COVID-19. We were also recently closed for a few days because of protests, and we are still caring for 12 families in our transitional program who are all doing well. Those who had secured employment had to quit because we cannot risk them leaving and returning after exposure to other people. All counseling services are delivered through video conferences or phone. Adult education classes are conducted with no more than 3 to a room. The nice weather has given us opportunity to conduct art classes and other creative activities for our families while following safe distancing guidelines. We had to temporarily close down our child care center as per guidelines set by the Department of Health and the CDC. We recently reopened it with limited capacity in early July 2020. Our frontline staff is working staggered hours to meet all health care requirements with 3 days on and 4 days off to accommodate increased weekend demands. 40 of our aftercare moms who successfully exited over the past 2 years have recently been hit hard by this pandemic. We have opened up a food pantry on-site where they can stop by to pick up groceries, needed supplies, and gift cards to help them pay for the bare necessities. We had to restructure all of our programs to ensure social distancing at all times, as well as providing special safely distanced and sanitized workstations for online learning for all of our school-age children. Now I would like to focus on 6 specific questions that Caroline sent to me earlier. I will answer with a detailed overview for you now and encourage you to save any questions you have for me during our live question and answering chat following this recorded presentation. The first question: has your intake of residents increased since the pandemic? And if so, are you able to handle the influx or having to refer them elsewhere? Since the pandemic started, we have received about 20 to 25 more calls per month compared to pre-COVID. However, since mid-March to the beginning of July, We temporarily closed our intake because the pandemic posed health risks to the families already residing with us, as well as to our staff. During that period of time, we took names and a safe number to call back once our intake opened up. Question number two, are the incoming residents quarantined when they come during this time of pandemic? And what can she expect when she gets there? The incoming residents are quarantining for 10 to 14 days, depending on where they are coming from. If they are coming from another shelter, the quarantine is 14 days. If they are coming from their home, hotel, or another communal space, the quarantine is 10 days. During the quarantine period, staff pick up and safely dispose of all garbage, help with laundry, grocery shopping, to ensure that each family has all of their needs met. Once that period ends, the family can expect to fully integrate into our program. Do you have access and do you administer testing on incoming and or current residents? And if they prove to be positive, what is your protocol? We do not have access and we do not administer testing to any clients. For positive cases, we are following guidelines from the Center for Disease Control and the Illinois Department of Health. Individual families must self-quarantine and monitor symptoms for 14 days in their unit, and if symptoms worsen, they need to seek emergency help. Question number four, how is the House of the Good Shepherd protecting its residents from not just the violence and abuse at the hands of their partners, but from the spread of COVID-19? We have put practices in place, again following national and state health and human service guidelines to minimize the spread. Below are a few examples, and I really should say following are a few examples. Family safety. Masks must be worn at all times when families are outside of their unit. We take temperatures and conduct COVID screenings daily. We clean and sanitize all apartment surfaces and remove garbage daily. We bring empty sanitizer bottles to the lobby for daily refill. We defog all public areas weekly, such as the reception desk, entry and exit areas, hallways, and any gathering areas. During these defogging sessions, all families need to stay in their unit for 4 hours after cleaning. Residents are only allowed to use their personal bathroom. All public bathrooms on the site are closed. For our backyard and playgrounds and playrooms, there is a 7-day backyard and playroom schedule provided to families for playtime, as well as special arts, crafts, and yoga activities. Childcare and transportation for essentials. A schedule is made up weekly curbside pickup of groceries at Walmart. Two designated staff members provide transportation to doctor's appointments as well as to pharmacies. And two designated staff members provide all childcare services during this time. Childcare for counseling session. Two designated staff members are made available to watch children during telecounseling sessions. Case management and budgeting. Our case manager meets individually with each mom for their weekly appointment in the House of the Good Shepherd conference room. Question number five. What trends or patterns of abuse are you seeing in the nature of the abuse suffered by those who seek your shelter during the pandemic? Actually, the trends have not changed much. There is still the isolation, the financial abuse, physical abuse, manipulation, lack of access to resources, still remain the primary kinds of abuse related to family violence. The lockdown and stay-at-home orders do amplify the occurrence of domestic violence across our city. Question number six, what are the immediate needs of the shelter to handle the situation of the pandemic, and what long-term consequences do you see for your residents or for Catholic Charities' efforts to care for survivors of domestic violence? So far, we have been able to creatively figure out how to remotely serve many others by phone, as well as innovative telecounseling to care for our clients facing trauma, mobility restriction, illness, travel, childcare challenges, and transportation difficulties. However, the ongoing changes and ever-increasing demands will also incur significant costs not anticipated when our initial budgets were developed a year ago. For example, we face an increase in unexpected expenses related to staffing shortages, high demand for hand sanitizers and basic supplies for our clients, staff, and volunteers, as well as increasing client needs for financial, housing, transportation services, as well as completing unemployment forms and legal services. In response to these demands, Catholic Charities has had to step up efforts in order to sustain and expand the services we provide now and for the future. Catholic Charities will continue to provide nutritious food to keep the most vulnerable as healthy as possible. Across our food pantries, women, infant, and children, or WIC centers and senior centers, our staff is dispersing a record amount of groceries and to-go meals for the homeless and people who cannot afford food at this difficult time. We provide uninterrupted mental health and case management services to people coping with depression, trauma, as they navigate their sobriety. Home visits to the elderly who are more vulnerable, isolated, and frightened at this time with the help of our remarkable staff who are a godsend to so many. And our senior housing and domestic violence shelters are provided extra measures to keep residents safe and to help them shelter in place with support and compassion. As we navigate these uncertain waters, we want to reassure you that with you, your help, our emergency response to the value and dignity of human life for those individuals and families in greatest need is our top priority. I would like to close by sharing a number of short testimonials spoken by mothers who have successfully exited our shelter recovery programs, and another mom who arrived a few months ago, and you can hear firsthand what their experiences have been. I also want to leave you with a message that we are all called to be humbled before God and to be kind to our neighbor. Thank you and stay safe. Now for our messages from our residents.
It was really violence, and not only the main reason also that the violence was not only against me, but also against my son.
People that helped them with either their learning or social skills, or I feel like they're developing skills and more positive relationships with adults instead of seeing two people fighting all the time or having someone yell at them. These people don't yell at them, so it's a much better, more positive relationship.
And I have learned from the different domestic violence classes that they offer. It's very, very important, the classes, on what I thought I was doing right was totally wrong when it comes to raising children in a stable environment.
My kids, they was really doing well in school. My son, he was getting A's and B's. I was surprised that my daughter had passed Okay, that's kindergarten, and she went to first grade. She was telling me, she was like, "Mommy, I'm going to first grade," and that's when I end up in tears.
The groups are great. The kids' groups are good. They love them. We have our own space. I can, make my own meals here, which is good. Because we actually came from somewhere before, a different shelter, and it was nothing like this.
From the people that work here, the volunteers that come here to help our families. It's a whole support system, you know, that the classes probably in tandem with everything, you know. So it's not, I don't think it's one particular thing in my experience. I just feel very, very fortunate from the people that work here, the volunteers that come here to help our families. It's a whole support system, you know, that the classes probably in tandem with everything, you know. So it's not, I don't think it's one particular thing in my experience. I just feel very, very fortunate.